So how does a general dentist then decide which, whether they should stick with the anteriors that are pretty routine or the ones you just described that the canals are all curved all over the place and it takes a magician to fill? How do they decide that?
Dave, there's an interesting problem that a lot of dentists have when they learn new techniques and they try to take them back to their dental offices. And that is, in the case of doing root canals, a lot of dentists maybe haven't done a molar root canal or a complicated bicuspid in many, many years. So they're worried about a situation where they start a case and then find out once they're involved with the case and they've committed to do the root canal that they're unable to complete it. And then they have to refer the case midstream. So a lot of dentists are worried about that, and as a result, they don't give themselves the opportunity to even try the case because they don't want to put themselves in a position where they'll have to refer it in the middle. So what I've done is come up with a technique, and I call it the Goldstein standard. And what it is, it's a technique that a dentist can use to make certain that they never have to begin a root canal until they're sure they can complete it. Well, the first thing that you need to do is make certain that you're taking a number of preoperative x-rays from at least two or three different angles. And I'm sure most of the listeners are using digital radiography, but whether you are or not, go ahead and get multiple images and look at different angles to make sure you're doing a complete diagnosis on a case before you accept it. So let's take a case. Let's say you've got a molar root canal and you're 80% sure you can do the case. You'd certainly like to try the case. You remember during the hands-on courses you did a case just as complicated and you did fine, but you're still a little worried that there might be a 15 to 20% chance that you'll get into a problem and have to refer. So here's what you do. What you would do is you would tell the patient that you're going to schedule an appointment to get the tooth out of pain. If the patient's not in pain and you're doing a root canal, you're doing it because it's an infection, you'll tell the patient that you're going to schedule an appointment to get the infection under control. And then what you do is you schedule a 30-minute appointment to do basically a code 3220, which is a pulpectomy. So you'll schedule just a half-hour appointment. Your fee for that half-hour, by the way, the average is about $157 across the nation for this half-hour procedure. And here's what you would do. And there's certain rules that apply here. So let's take one scenario. Let's say you open the tooth. You have the patient in. You get the patient numb. You open the tooth, and after about 10 or 15 minutes, you can't find the canals. And all of a sudden, this little bead of sweat starts running down your forehead. I think we've all been there at different times. And there's a very strict rule with this scenario, and that is you never spend longer than about 10 or 12 minutes looking for the canal. So you either stop at 10 to 12-minute mark looking, you stop looking, or as soon as that first bead of sweat, whenever that is, you stop looking, because after that point is when dentists get into trouble and they do things they regret, like perforate the teeth. So after the 10 or 12 minutes, you can't find the canal, so you at least explore the canals that you can get in, medicate the tooth if you want to, put a temporary in the tooth, sit the patient up, you're still within the half hour, and you tell the patient the good news. The good news is that if you've done the pulpectomy correctly, you've gotten the tooth under control, the infection under control, and or the pain under control. And then you very politely explain to the patient that this tooth has some special concerns, and you recommend that this patient sees an endodontist who's had additional years of training in treating problems just like this. So that's how you do that. Now, here's the outcome of that. During this worst-case scenario, there are two benefits. Number one, there were no surprises to the patient because you did what you said you were going to do, even under this worst-case scenario, and instead of losing the full amount of production for the time, you've produced at the rate of $314, unlike booking an hour and a half or an hour 40 minutes for a root canal and then having to dismiss the patient and charging them almost nothing. So that's the worst-case scenario. Now, there are other things that can happen. Let's take scenario number two, same situation. You have a half-hour appointment scheduled. You open the tooth, and you look for the canals, and then you absolutely shock yourself. You find all the canals. Maybe you find all four canals on an upper molar. So what you do then, while the tooth is open, you go ahead and record your root length. Hopefully you've got Apex Locator to help you with that. You record the length in your charts for the future. You close the tooth up, and then you schedule the patient to go ahead and do the complete root canal at the next visit. And hopefully, if you're smart, you'll go ahead and schedule the restorative, whatever the restorative is, even if it's a core and a crown. Just go ahead and schedule it at that appointment. So the benefits there are that you've already eliminated all of the variability and all of the question about whether you can do the case. You found the canals, so you can make your next visit very predictable. You know exactly how long to schedule it. The patient knows that the next visit is not going to be painful because you've already gotten a majority of the pulpal tissue out, so it should be an easy appointment for the patient, so there'll certainly be no question about whether they'll show up or not. And because of the predictability of it, you're more likely to go ahead and schedule the restorative work at that time. So that's scenario number two. But there's one more scenario, and that is same situation as scenario two. You open the tooth and find the canals, but in this scenario, you actually find the time to go ahead and do the root canal while the patient's there and while the tooth is open. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, how in the world am I going to find time to work in that root canal? And I have a few suggestions. You interested in hearing some suggestions?
Absolutely.